Yeah, let's pray before we get into this. So Lord, just thank you for your word. And thank you for the ways that you speak to us through your word. So Lord, will you open our ears, give us the ears to hear what you want to say to us today. And Lord, will you soften our hearts that we might be transformed and formed together through your word. Amen. So we're wrapping up this sermon series looking at prophecy. And it's been really encouraging to hear. I mean, there's been several people just kind of popping up from around All Saints who have been sharing either a word or a picture that they believe God is wanting to share with us over the past few weeks. And Ellie's prophecy course has seemed to be spurring quite a few people on to explore and exercise this gift. And she's trying to compile all that's being shared. And so that we can pray through it and discern together what God's wanting to say to us as a church. So it's been really encouraging to see all of this just recently develop. And it's exciting to kind of think about like where it all might take us. But today we're closing this series out by looking at the prophet's heart. So what is a prophet's heart? Before we jump into that, let's just kind of think about what it means when I just say heart, our heart. Like, what's your heart? You know, what's your heart? Because when I hear that question, I believe it means it's more about like who we are at our very core. And when I think about heart, I think about maybe our character. And it's harder to describe who we are when we're trying to describe our character. But we tend to describe ourselves by our titles, right? Like, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a Christian. But how do we describe who we are at our core, at our heart? That's a bit more difficult. See, around us, we have all these banners. And they describe our values here at All Saints. We have loving God, loving one another, loving our neighbor, exploring, celebrating. I mean, these are all things we say we place a very high value on, and they are an expression of who we are, or who Christ has transformed us to be. I mean, these values are kind of like our outward expression of our heart, or how we live out being who we are. So before I go on and just keep making this some more complicated, I'm already at a point I'm not quite sure what I'm talking about. So how about we just look at the Bible readings, yeah? And hopefully these stories will help us to show us what is a prophet's heart. So let's start with Isaiah. I mean, really, we don't know a whole lot about Isaiah, the man. We can make a good guess that he was probably a God-fearing man. In chapter 7 and 8, it points out that he was a husband and a father and a prophet, was a resident of Jerusalem. I mean, those titles, you know, that we tend to give people when we describe them. But as for who Isaiah was, we can kind of start to see this from this morning's reading. So God gave Isaiah this huge, grand vision, you know, and God's glory and these six, like crazy winged seraphim things. And all Isaiah can say and think is about how unworthy, how shameful, how broken he is. He sees all this. And God is single-handedly reaches out to Isaiah, and all Isaiah can say is, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips." Then the seraphim comes down, touches Isaiah's lips with that burning coal, and says, "Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then we have the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?" Followed by Isaiah's response, "Here I am, send me." So, God chose Isaiah to be his voice to all his chosen people. And he'd seen this big vision. When God spoke to him, and Isaiah said, yeah, I'll do it. But we cut the part out of what God was wanting Isaiah to tell his people. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just share that with you. So Isaiah raises his hand, yeah, here I am, send me. And God says, "All right, this is what I want you to say. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make your heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Then I said, How long, O Lord? And he said, Until cities lie waste, without inhabitant, and houses without people, and land is as desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a Tebereth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. So that's how chapter 6 ends, right? God says, this is the message I want to send to you. But for the first chapter, or first verse in chapter 7 is one of my favorites. It's one that really resonates with me. And Isaiah says, after hearing God's message, what? It doesn't say anything like that. That's God's message that he wants Isaiah to repeat to his people. And that's how chapter 6 ends. But actually what happens is Isaiah is sent straight to King Ahaz of Judah, who's about to be attacked by Syria and Israel. And it's in that story in chapter 7, in that message that he has for King Ahaz, where we get probably the most famous Christmas verse, you know, the promise of our eternal Savior. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I mean, that line was given from Isaiah to a king who was about to be attacked by a much larger army, and he was just scared to death. So this is chapter 6, you know, to chapter 7 in a nutshell. You know, it starts with, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, to the very next thing, speaking to a king and giving us probably the most popular Christmas verse we hear year after year. But I think all this shows us quite a lot of who Isaiah was. What made up his heart? He was humble and obedient to God. He was probably a lot more than that, but this sermon's got to end at some point. But it's those two elements that I think are essential as we're thinking about the heart of a prophet. Humble and obedient to God. So now let's jump to our John reading, which starts off with Jesus saying, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know, humble and obedient to God. That's Emmanuel that Isaiah spoke of earlier. You know, I don't know if you caught it, but that's Jesus. Jesus came in search of those who are humble and obedient to lead them and to show them what an obedient life looks like. Jesus exampled this and even said in this morning's John reading, The word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. John 6, he says, I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And even when Jesus was facing death in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, if it possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. See, Jesus' life and his teachings and ministry was all showing what an obedient life to God looks like. So in our John reading, Jesus is giving his disciples this final teaching before he goes off to be crucified. See, he spent like the last 3 years with his disciples, and he's telling them that although he will be crucified, he will not be leaving them as orphans. And he repeats this several times, that he will always be with them through the Holy Spirit. So he's promising them the Holy Spirit, who will always draw their attention back to Jesus, to what he said and to what he did. And Jesus tells them, The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus also tells them, Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Then Judas, not Iscariot, which is the most unfortunate last name in the Bible, like just two Judases, one guy's named Judas, not Iscariot. Judas, not Iscariot, ask Jesus, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the rest of the world? And Jesus' answer is, if anyone loves me, He will keep my word. Now, all of God's word is a gift. But for me, it's the Gospels are especially important because of the stories and the teachings of Jesus give us the clearest picture of who God is. And that's always been God's desire, is to make himself known to us. So Judas asked, how will you manifest yourself to us after you're gone? And Jesus said, keep my word. So the more we know the word, the more we know God. And the more we'll see that God is actually at work manifesting himself all around us. Jesus does manifest himself all around us if we know what to look for. If we know him through his word. So I just thought I'd like to close with just an example of seeing how Jesus manifesting himself that I hope you'll find encouraging and maybe helpful as we go out from this place expecting to see Jesus carrying out his mission through others. A few months ago, I met this woman who set up an amazing organization that's helped, loads of refugees that have kind of found themselves in our area. And, she's the type of person, when you meet her, it's pretty unassuming. I'm not saying this in an insulting way. It's like just kind of normal, But how she was able to set up just this great organization. And I'm just kind of like, well, she's just so normal. What's wrong with me? Why can't I do something like that? She's that type of person. She gets things done. So we were meeting one day, and I like to ask people like this because, it's not like she's making anything out of this. I mean, this is like really a sacrificial, she's just sacrificially pouring out and loving these strangers, which to me looks a lot like Jesus, right? And so we were meeting, and I asked her, I like to ask people when I see God working through people, why are you doing this? Because she's not a Christian. So I just asked, why are you doing this? And she all she said was that she was in a really comfortable place in her life at one point, and she just saw a news story of some refugees and hearing the stories of, what all the hell that they go through. And they're all stuck in France at this time. And something was just kind of really spurred in her and just kind of burned in her. And she just thought, I've got to do something. So she calls her friends and says, I'm collecting clothes, shoes. She didn't know what to do. Just whatever I can. I'm going to France. I'm just going to do whatever I can to help whoever I can. And she does it again and again. And all along, she's meeting more people with have a similar heart. And so that's just how the organization just gradually developed. And the whole time she's telling me this story, it just kind of felt like it was echoing in my head. God just reminding me of probably the easiest Bible memory verse in all the Bible in 1 John is just, God is love. And so I point this out to her, just saying, what you're doing is just sacrificial love. And if God is love, I can just see him oozing out of you. And that really resonated with her and opened up a whole deeper, different conversation just about spirituality and on what she believes and what she hopes for. But I just love those opportunities because, this is all about Jesus telling us we need to follow his commands, obey his commands if we love him. Well, the command that we've been given is we've been given a mandate with the gospel and an obligation to share it. And for her, she got a glimpse of the gospel right there, I think. I believe. By just telling her, there is a God who is working in you and through you to bless loads of other people. What a fantastic gospel we have to share when we see Jesus manifesting himself around us. So let's pray. So Lord, just again, thank you for your word. And thank you for these teachings and these examples and these lessons from Jesus that we can come to know you And thank you for these opportunities that we can see you out at work today through others. You manifest yourself to us, and not the rest of the world, but you've given us an obligation to proclaim it when we see it. So Lord, when we do leave here, and throughout the rest of the week, when we're going into our normal day-to-day life, will you open our eyes to get a glimpse of you? And Lord, will you give us the courage and the boldness and the words to proclaim it when we see it? Amen.